Good morning, everyone. I am excited that you're here today, and I want to, the best that I can, springboard off what Terry began by honoring what we experience today. And I believe we're, and I'm going to end on Jesus because I believe that's where our hope comes from, but I'm going to parallel that to what we experience right now and how easily it is for us, especially here in the States, to take for granted the price that's been paid for us to sit here in this room, the price for the freedom that we enjoy every day. And we think, oh, it's our country and all this, but we very often forget what price has been paid for that. And because really, the freedom that we have, the life that we have, even some of the things that are in our possession are due to the sacrifice of other people. And in our self-centered culture that is me and what I did and, you know, the job that I do, everything, we so easily forget who have kind of paid into that. The issues that we run into with those things, or the struggle with enjoying what someone else has given us and our ability to take it for granted. And so this morning, I want to jump right into Hebrews. If you've been reading along with us in the One-Year Bible, you've been reading Hebrews. And I just want to give you kind of an idea, because we're going to get to probably the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made for us that we so easily can take for granted or just misuse the price that was paid to us. But let me give you a little heads up. So if you're unfamiliar with Hebrews, Hebrews was written maybe by Paul, maybe by Barnabas. They're not really sure who the author is, but it was definitely written to a people that were very familiar with Jewish customs and history and the first couple of books of the Torah. I mean, it was written to most likely Jews who had become Christian, mostly to also identify Jesus as greater. And so it goes through from beginning to where we're going to land in chapter 10, going that Jesus is greater than the angels that delivered the first. Thus saith the Lord, that Jesus is greater than that. Jesus is greater than the greatest leader that is recorded in the Old Testament, which was Moses, that delivered God's people out of exile towards the promised land, that Jesus is greater than that. And he's even greater than the priest that led people into the things of God. And he is most definitely greater than the sacrifices that were offered at the hand of men. And so it goes through all these, and each of those, it warns us how easily we can forget and suffer the consequences of this gift that's been given us. So before we get into the word, I just want to pray that God would use it. So, dearly Father, Lord, without your interaction, we are just zombies going through our day and doing our stuff and kind of really forgetting the big picture. And Lord, I just pray this morning as we look at the word and what you've done for us and the sacrifice that you've made for us, Lord, I pray that we would no longer deny the gift that you've given us, that we would no longer take for granted the things that you've given us. And Lord, that you would point us to your Son. And Lord, the sacrifice that he made for us that had to be made for the freedom that we can enjoy today. So Lord, we just pray that your word would be heard and your word would sink deep in our soul. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to jump around before we get into the bulk of the text that I'm going to be in is in Hebrews 10. But I want to start in Hebrews 9:22. To lead to this idea that there had to be a sacrifice, there had to be someone that paid the price for us. So in Hebrews 9:22, it says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sin." The consequences to our sin, the consequences to our ill behavior, to doing the things that God has asked us not to do, is always death, and that death always has to be paid through blood. Someone's blood is going to pay for our sin. And so they were in the custom here, and he's talking to a people that are very familiar with the sacrificial system, very familiar with the, you know, you go and you take your sacrifice and the scapegoat, you would literally lay your hands on this animal and the sins would go into the animal, and because of the shedding of their blood, you would be forgiven for a season. But I love that in Hebrews 10:4, it clarifies that, because it's eliminating an old system that was never intended to work fully. It was always an image of what God was bringing into this. And so in Hebrews 10:4 it says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." So there is an issue for the payment of our sin. And so in Hebrews 10 verses 12 through 14, it says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time until his enemies should be made a footstool at his feet." In verse 14, it says, "For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Listen to that. Because of this one single sacrifice, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Like, what does that mean? We've talked about this word justification, that Jesus, when we faithfully believe what he has done, we are justified, we are made right. But it's also, there's this other process of us becoming like Jesus. The person that I was at 18 when I got saved is not the same person that I am right now, because God is in and still in the business of changing me into the likeness of him. You see, in this sacrifice is in the business of perfecting you. And the only way that we miss out on what God's trying to do in us is we forget that he's doing something in us. We get overwhelmed by our own sin nature that we're still in. I don't know about you guys that have been saved for a little bit. I would say that I don't have to argue the point that there's still an issue in you that's not completely resolved. Can we agree to that? Okay, little head nods. No one's perfect in here, including the joker with the microphone. Get to know me. You'll realize that I'm just like you, trying desperately to be transformed into the image of God. And so there's this idea that we're going to hit on. This idea that because of this, and this is what 19 through 25, where we're going to rest and land, that because of this, God has given us the capacity to draw near. And so leading up to this, there were priests. And when I said that Jesus was greater than the priest, it talked about in Hebrews the reality that the priest was just like you and I. That the priest, that even though he's offering the sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins, he had to offer his own sacrifice for his own sin because he wasn't perfect. And only once a year did the head priest go into what they considered the Holy of Holies, where they believed the presence of God was only one man, and it was so scary to enter into the presence of God that they would tie a rope around him just in case he fell dead in the room. And it talked about the sacrifice, and we're going to get there, but the sacrifice literally separated the curtain, giving us access into the holies of holies. So when we're talking about drawing near, our access and our ability because of one man's sacrifice and willingness to pay the price for us gives you and me the ability that right now enter into the place that only the priest could enter into, that we could literally draw close to the presence of God, that his purity was so much so that the only reason one person could go in there, which was the priest, which was obeying the law to the best of his ability, was because there had to be a purity to be in there. Like, I think sometimes we forget the reality that we serve a God that still demands purity and still demands righteousness, but he's brought in us through the sacrifice of his son to draw near. It says, therefore draw near in Christ, you who are being sanctified by the Spirit day by day. You are now already before God perfect. Like that, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I struggle with that reality. And this is why we have to have the word in us, because there are many in this room that aren't drawing near to the presence of God because you've forgotten what Christ has done for you. You're still looking at yourself. Like, I don't deserve to draw near to the presence of God because of whatever. Fill in your own blank and your own sin and your own whatever. Confess something else, but I'm just going to move on because I don't have time for that. Some driving issues. If you want to hear the story, I'll tell you later. I'm aware of my own sin every week. God just loves to do that to me. And it says, you are already before God perfect. Therefore, because of this truth, draw near to God. Let your zeal for drawing near according to this truth, the truth that we're getting ready to unfold. And God's going to give us two reasons why we have the capacity to draw near. And that draw near is going to be, or those experiences are going to be sense. You'll hear this word. So in verse 19. And this is his encouragement to the people who understood the law, who understood what it meant to follow the rules, to get to the presence of God. And he's saying here, he says, therefore, brothers, since, and here's one, the first one, we have confidence to draw near the holy places by the blood of Jesus. The reason why you have the capacity right now as a son or daughter of Jesus to draw near to the presence and the goodness of God is because of the blood of Jesus. Confidence in the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. In verse 20, it says, by the new and living way that opened for us through the curtain. So it's remove the barrier from the presence of God. That is through his flesh. And since, here's the second one, we have a great high priest over the house of God. So not only has there been a perfect sacrifice laid down for us, but we also have a perfect priest. And I don't consider myself a priest because our culture looks, you know, that word is changed. But I'm not that guy for you. Like Paul told people, he said, look, he said, follow me as I follow him. So he's really saying, all you're really doing is following Jesus, but lead by my example. And here's us understanding that right now, your clarity for entering into the presence of God is not, take this, this may burst your bubble, not for your knowing and having a relationship with me. So as people in the church drawing closer to me will not increase your position in the presence of the Father, because we've already got a priest in Jesus that is right now sitting beside the Father, interceding for his saints, interceding for his children. We have a great high priest, and he is leading us in truth and purity. One that does not need to sacrifice of animals over and over for his own sin, because he was sinless. And here's the so that we can. He's done these things so that we can. In verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Our ability to enter into the presence of God is always and will always be thankful or our gratitude for someone else. It will always be leaning on that, and it removes our desire to lift ourselves up. I'm telling you, like, if we get this reality, if we get the understanding that it is once and for all the activity of Jesus on the cross for us that gives us the capacity to draw in, because He wants us there. He wants us to draw in. His heart has never been for us to be distant and away from His heart is always for us to draw near. Like right now, if I could end this sermon and I could be done with this, and you hear one thing, is that God desires you to draw near to Him. And He's made the way for that ability, for that thing to happen through your faith in Jesus alone. Like, He doesn't want you to be distant. And our sin, the sin that is in every single one of us, is what is, if we focus on it, the thing that we did. Like when I flashed somebody that passed me illegally, I flashed my bright lights and left them on for a few minutes. On my road with a reach sticker on my car. We won't tell you that he spun around and got in the other lane and stopped and put on his bright lights and probably wanted to kill me. Literally the stupidity. But those little things like that, those little things that we, in a moment, I mean, I wasn't like, that wasn't planned out. I wasn't like, hey, this morning at 5:15, I want to aggravate somebody that passes me in a turning lane. Bright lights. Like, you're breaking the law, and I want you to know that. Like, I that was not my plan. When I got up at 4:40 in the morning, it wasn't like, hey, this morning, I want to start somebody's day off right. I want them to see the... If you drive poorly, maybe not put a sticker on your car like me. I want them to see there's Reach Community Church. Look at this man of God that's driving early in the morning. He's probably already been in the Word. And whatever his reason for needing to pass me in a turn lane, I don't know. And if it's you, please come up to me afterwards so I can repent and apologize. Because as soon as I did it, like, the Holy Spirit was like, and I'm like, before he turned around and did all his, like, I really thought there was going to be an altercation and wishing this was one of the days that I carried my gun with me, but I didn't. And like, as soon as it happened, I was like, God, I'm sorry. And little thing, like, and I know that's laughable and we think like it's no big deal, but there's thousands of things that are going on in your reality every day that you're right now thinking of, and that is what keeps you from the present. That keeps you the next morning. Like when you have a bad night and you not yell at your kids, but you get aggravated with your kids. And you just, like, you lose it, and you know you lose it, and the Holy Spirit convicts you of losing it, and you're like, and it's hard to wake up the next morning going, like, man, I'm drawing into the deepness of God. Anybody else? And look, I'm telling you, God, even in that, because He knew we didn't have the capacity. He knew we didn't have the freedom to enter in. He's saying, because of your full assurance of faith in Jesus, draw in. So I'm telling you right now, regardless of what yesterday looked like, regardless of what last week looked like, regardless of what your pattern looks like, God is calling you to draw in. See, drawing in is not moving from one place to another. It is a directing of the heart into the presence of God, who is as distinct as the Holy of Holies in heaven. Distant, sorry. of the Holy of Holies in heaven, and yet as near as the door of faith, he is commanding us to come, to approach him, to draw near to him. Verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See, this is the real tension. We sometimes believe because our repetitive nature of sin that God isn't faithful. I say this a lot, and some people are like, that's my kid and I can't focus. They're not thinking about anything. They're not thinking about yesterday, because that's the beauty of being a child. They're not inhibited of enjoying anything yet. But like right now, you're inhibited from enjoying the presence of God because of. And here's Jesus saying, just hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering, because trials and tribulations are coming. We're not going to get to, but in verse 35 and 36, this people group that this letter is going to, they are being tortured and persecuted because of their faith. And he's saying, hold fast to the confession. In verse 24, it says, let us consider how we may stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Jesus, I know it's been a long time, but Jesus is returning. And for us to do what Jesus has called his church to do, we have to draw near. We have to grab on to the sacrifice that this one man has made for us and no longer neglect what he's done for us, no longer taking it away from him. See, there will be many things that will try to separate you from this reality of drawing near to the presence of God. And so here's where I want to leave you. I want to ask our worship team to come back up front. We're going to do our best in this last few minutes to allow ourselves the reality that even in these moments, as we're singing these words that are going to be on the screen, that we get to enjoy and praise the living God for what he's done. But if we don't understand the truth of what he's done, we can easily forget. Just like our soldiers, because we weren't there, we don't know what they've done for us. We take for granted every day the sacrifice of the soldiers, of what they've done for us to sit in this room, to not be occupied by another country that would take away our freedom of religion and everything else. And it's so easy because it's not in our world to forget what they've done. And here's the call of the cross. And the reason why we do communion and things like that is because we constantly have to be reminded that you didn't do it. You're not going to do it. You will never be able to outside of the belief in Jesus for what he has done. And so the two things I just want to settle us on is that God is calling you to draw in, not because of you, not because of your goodness, but because of his son. And God has given us a reminder, and the reason why we encourage you to get into the word, because reading Hebrews, it would lead you to this place. I mean, you ain't even got to Hebrews 11 yet. That's today, if you're reading. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every sin that so easily entangles us. Getting rid of those things. See, the beauty of it is that God's given us his Holy Spirit. God has given us his Son as a sacrifice. And God has also given us the church to remind us of his goodness. God has given us these little things called community, where you get to gather around and you get to spur one another along, because we are people that will forget. We are people that allow the mouth of sin to tell us who we are over the presence of God. And I believe that everyone's desire in this room is to draw into the place and peace of God and stay there. And so today, regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you feel, and regardless of where you've been, if your hope and your trust is in Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, let that be your reason, actually your commanding reason, to draw in to the presence of God. And so as we worship, as we go into this place, I just encourage you, wherever you're at, if you're a saint that's struggling, confess. See, the beauty of confession is you're not telling God anything that He doesn't already know. You ever told, like, you ever been burdened with something and you just speak it and there's a light, there's something that changes in you when it leaves the darkness and enters into the light? Do that today. Like, if something's keeping you, if you're like, no, this or that's keeping me from this place, confess it. Because those things don't separate you from the presence of God when you have Jesus. And if you're in this room and you've not made a commitment to the King, then start a conversation with Him. Saying, God, I'm ruining this life. And left to our own devices, we will ruin our own lives. Just have a conversation with somebody after church of the dumb things that they've done in their life and the places that it lead them. There's a goodness that God wants to deposit in you. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to pray. I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come into this room. And as we worship, let the pull of His presence just draw you in. I mean, think about a people that wouldn't even enter a room because the presence of God was there. And we have access to that room now. Here in this room. So let me pray and then we're going to go into worship. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You right now in Jesus' name that You are good enough to allow us to enter into Your presence, not by our works or not by our efforts, but by our faith in You, being the once and for all perfect, whole, and complete sacrifice, who shed Your blood to pay the penalty for our sin. And this morning, regardless of where we're at, we trust in that reality. And when You call us son and daughter, we will believe it. When You call us righteous, we will believe it. When we hear from Your mouth that You are perfecting us into Your likeness, we will believe it. And I pray right now, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would just whisper in our ear the words of come. Come into My presence. Draw near to Me. And Lord, we trust Your word that says, as we draw near to You, You draw near to us. Lord, You're not hidden or separated from those who embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I pray that You would allow us to live in that reality. And so, Lord, right now, if there's people in this room that don't know You, Lord, I pray that the mercy of heaven would overwhelm them to embrace the truth and reality of Jesus, our friend and Savior, the one who gives to us what we could not earn and definitely don't deserve. And so, Lord, be honored by our worship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.